I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's July 11th, and we have a lot to talk about. Living your best life with MS often means learning to plan ahead and, when circumstances require, knowing when and how to adapt. Many of us find ourselves in the kitchen every day, and while cooking can be pleasurable, it can also be a chore that only gets worse if you're dealing with fatigue, mobility issues, pain, upper limb dexterity, or other MS symptoms. Joining me to talk about how planning ahead and adopting new behaviors can ease the burden of meal preparation is award-winning author, chef, and blogger Trevis Gleason. Trevis was diagnosed with secondary progressive MS in 2001, and he's here to share tips and strategies that are designed to make your meal planning and prepping easier. But before we get to my conversation with Trevis Gleason, there are a few other things that you should know about. While we're talking about food, I want to take a moment to talk about wine, because on Saturday, July 29th, I'll be in Napa Valley, California, attending Crush MS. Crush MS brings some amazing wineries together to raise awareness of MS and to raise funds for MS research. Now, I'll be there with an MS research update, but you really want to be at Crush MS for the wine, the food, and the music. If you can get yourself to Napa, California on Saturday, July 29th, I can't think of a better place for you to be than to be part of Crush MS at Reed Family Vineyards. You can get more information and buy your ticket to attend at crushms.org. And Kevin Reed, the man behind Crush MS, told me that if you're living with MS, you'll get a deep discount on that ticket price by emailing him first at info@crushms.org. Kevin also told me that every Real Talk MS listener can get a 10% discount on the price of tickets by including the discount code REALTALKMSDISCOUNT. Now that's all one word, and the R is capitalized. You can check out that discount code in today's show notes just to make sure you have it right. I always love connecting with members of the Real Talk MS listener community. So if you find yourself at Crush MS on Saturday, July 29th, I hope you'll stop and say hello. You'll find the special Real Talk MS discount code and a link to get your tickets to Crush MS in today's show notes. Last month, on episode 302 of Real Talk MS, MS activist Dr. Scott Crawford joined me to talk about ways to make air travel easier for people living with MS. If you use a wheelchair, one of the most frustrating aspects of traveling by air is arriving at your destination to find that the airline has damaged your wheelchair due to mishandling. And if you're someone who's living with progressive MS, someone who might be using a power chair that's been customized, well, finding a temporary substitute for that damaged power chair is going to be a difficult assignment. According to the website Travel Weekly, in 2022, the 10 largest U.S. airlines mishandled 11,389 wheelchairs and scooters. That's over 11,000 people who saw their plans for a business trip or vacation come to a screeching halt until repairs could be made or replacements could be found. But there may be some good news on the horizon. First, there's a bill pending in Congress that would require the U.S. Department of Transportation to begin researching ways for disabled passengers to board their flight and stay in their wheelchair during that flight. If you're wondering how that could be accomplished, a company called Air for All has already demonstrated one potential solution. The Air for All aircraft seat can be used as a regular seat on a plane if there are no disabled passengers traveling. But the seat folds up and then into itself, creating space for someone in a power chair to back into that space. Then their wheelchair is secured in the same way you might secure a wheelchair in a van. And the person using that wheelchair stays in their wheelchair during the flight. The Air for All aircraft seat was unveiled just last month at the Aircraft Interiors Expo in Germany, and the company has partnered with a division of Delta Airlines to further explore this idea. Arriving at your destination with a damaged wheelchair that can't be used is really no different from someone arriving at their destination without their legs. It's an unacceptable situation that, it appears, both the federal government and private industry may finally be trying to mitigate. Now, if you'd like to get a preview of how the Air for All aircraft seat would work, you can visit the company's website, and you'll find that link in today's show notes. We know that there's a genetic component to MS. More than 200 genetic variants that can increase the risk of someone developing MS have already been identified. But those risk factors don't explain why one person's MS progresses very rapidly and another person's MS barely seems to progress at all. Well, an international collaboration involving more than 70 different institutions enabled researchers to pool data from more than 12,000 people living with MS to try to identify statistical links between genetic variants and the degree of MS severity someone may experience. And this analysis detected a single genetic variant that showed a significant association with a fast rate of MS progression. This genetic variant involves two genes, one gene that's involved in repairing damaged cells and one that helps to control viral infections. These genes are normally active in the brain and spinal cord, but they're not part of the immune system. And this discovery suggests that the brain's resilience, its ability to repair the nervous system, may be the characteristic that determines the course or the severity of MS in an individual. A long-term outcome analysis that followed more than 8,000 people with MS for nearly 14 years showed that carrying two copies of this genetic variant, that's one from each parent, led to faster MS progression, shortening the time until someone with MS required a walking aid by almost 4 years. Understanding MS progression brings researchers closer to developing specific treatments to stop that progression, and the outcome of this study provides evidence that brings us a little bit closer to achieving that goal. If you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Smoking is bad for your health. I think that's something we can all agree on. In the United States, the Surgeon General has been making it clear since 1964 that smoking cigarettes causes lung cancer. And for people living with MS, the risks associated with smoking make it even worse. Cigarette smoking has already been shown to be associated with faster disability progression and poor health outcomes. But if for some reason you happen to be a smoker and you've been holding out for one more shred of evidence that you're making things worse for yourself, here it is. The outcome of a pilot study shows that cigarette smoking significantly slows recovery time from an MS relapse among people living with relapsing remitting MS. Now, in this study, the team of researchers from medical universities in Tehran analyzed data from 142 adults with relapsing remitting MS who had been admitted to a hospital due to an MS relapse. 79 people, or 55% of this group, were smokers. 49 smoked cigarettes, 19 people used a water pipe, 11 were passive smokers. There were people who were regularly exposed to secondhand smoke, and 63 people were non-smokers. So the research team compared the EDSS scores of the smokers with the EDSS scores of the non-smokers. They looked at these EDSS scores immediately following each patient's relapse, and then 2 months after that relapse. The analysis showed that compared to the non-smokers, Smokers had a higher EDSS score immediately following a relapse and still had a higher EDSS score 2 months after their relapse. Researchers decided to take a closer look at the group of 79 smokers and found that the smokers who used a water pipe or were exposed to secondhand smoke, well, they were not statistically different compared to the non-smokers. So it was specifically cigarette smoking that was associated with higher functional disability during an MS relapse and greater disability with slower improvement in the 2-month recovery phase following an MS relapse. So there you have it. Just in case you were waiting for that last piece of evidence to demonstrate that smoking makes MS worse, both in the short term and the long term, here it is. And if you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. I know that many of you have a real interest in better understanding the role of diet in managing MS. And while researchers haven't been able to identify a quote-unquote MS diet, well now, a research team in Denmark has published results of a study that show that a diet rich in plant-based products and low in red meat and processed meat was associated with fewer MS symptoms. Now, in publishing the results of their study, the researchers pointed out that trying to do any sort of large clinical trial focused on diet and MS is difficult simply because it's hard for people to stay on a diet, which is something most of us discover at one time or another. This study didn't require anyone to adopt a specific diet. It only required study participants to record their food intake, whatever it was, along with their MS symptoms, for a period of 100 days. 550 people initially registered for the study, but only 163, that's just 30% of them, actually completed at least 3 weeks of recording their food and their symptoms. That's just 21 days. And it seemed that those study participants who stayed with it when it came to recording their food intake and their MS symptoms were most often people living with progressive MS. So the researchers point out that there may well be some bias toward progressive MS in their study results. Analyzing the results against 9 different MS symptoms, the researchers found that those study participants who ate a vegetable-rich diet experienced significantly fewer MS symptoms, including less pain and fewer bladder-related symptoms. The nature of this study precluded any sort of cause and effect relationship between diet and MS severity or treatment, but it's another piece of information in what's proven itself to be a difficult assessment. Now, if you'd like to review the details of this study, you'll find a link in today's show notes. And whether it's a plant-based diet, a Mediterranean diet, or the diet you happen to be following right now, MS symptoms can get in the way of almost every aspect of meal preparation. Joining me in a moment with some strategies for easing the work of planning and prepping in the kitchen is award-winning chef, author, and blogger, Trevis Gleason. Eating a healthy diet makes good sense for everyone. And if you're living with MS, eating a healthy diet can help manage your symptoms, it can prevent other health conditions from developing, and it can help optimize your overall health. But living with MS can sometimes make it difficult to prepare and cook meals that are part of that healthy diet. Award-winning author, chef, and blogger Trevis Gleason was diagnosed with secondary progressive MS in 2001, and Trevis is joining us today with tips and strategies designed to make your meal planning and prepping easier. Welcome to the podcast, Trevis.
John, thanks so much, and hello to all the Real Talk MS listeners that you have, and I know that you've got loads of them.
Well, thanks, and I appreciate that on their behalf. You know, before we get into those tips and strategies, I'm looking forward to you sharing. I hope you'll tell us a little about your MS journey. And I'm also curious about what it was that inspired you to become a chef.
Well, we'll start with a fun one. I enjoy eating. That's pretty much it. That's quite frankly it. I always felt that a plate is a method of travel, but it's also a memory. You know, the flavor of a food can bring you to a place that you visited. The smell of a kitchen can bring you back to your grandmother's kitchen, etc. So I think that food is an important part of what we do. It's not just fuel. Now, we'll get into that, I suspect, but sometimes it has to be fuel because we just don't have the energy to make it much more than that. But food is a passion of mine, definitely. My MS story happened kind of when I was there. It happened from the time I was before I even went to culinary school. But I started to have little symptoms for about 15 years. I either ignored them or some were misdiagnosed, some went away. So I didn't think too much about them. But then when I finally was diagnosed, as I'll often say, that I was diagnosed overnight, but it took 15 years. And then for that next 6 years or so, it was pretty tough. I had loads of steroid treatments, which changed my metabolism. I lost my sense of the taste of salt for a number of months and sweet for a number of months, a couple of years after that. So MS is kind of an insidious bastard, if you will, and it kind of takes sometimes the things that are most important to us. So when I can taste properly, when I do have the energy to cook, and entertain a bit sometimes, it really is precious. As people, most people will know with MS, if you find something that gives you joy and you can still do it in spite of MS, by God, do it.
If you're living with MS, meal preparation can be impacted by so many things, by fatigue, challenges with your fine motor skills, cognition, mobility, to name just a few of those symptoms that make working in the kitchen more difficult than it should be. So let's dive into solving some of this. Let's start with planning ahead. Why is it important to set aside time to plan for your snacks, your meals, and your grocery shopping?
Well, John, I think everybody listening probably understands that everything takes longer with MS, whether it's because we have mobility issues or fatigue issues, or we're in the midst of a real or a pseudo exacerbation that makes it feel like we're walking through knee deep water to get to everywhere. Everything's going to take longer. So planning that time to even just planning the time to sit down and think about it. I know it seems a little overkill to take time to plan your planning time. But that is important because as the old adage goes, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So I'm a firm believer in giving myself as many chances to succeed as possible. So taking the time to think about what I need to shop for writing it down or making a list on your mobile device or whatever. Putting things in this exact same place all the time so that when you reach for it, it's there. Because we have muscle memory, even if our cognitive memory is gone, we know where to reach for things. So I think by planning and taking the time to plan all of this, we are giving ourselves as many chances as possible to be successful. And God knows with MS, we need to be successful sometimes.
So let's take on that task of planning and see if we can simplify it a little bit. Are there some tips you can share that might make meal planning a little easier?
Well, I suppose it's important to remember that not everybody likes cooking, MS or not. So if you didn't like cooking before MS and you don't like it now, that's not because of MS. Or if it was just a chore, that's not MS. So give yourself a break there. Another thing is, if you like a certain type of food, be it, Italian in general or Pan-Asian or specific something or other, don't feel like you have to make huge swings in variations in making meals. I like to use the 80-20 rule. And if you like a certain dish, keep 80% of the ingredients the same, change up 20% of them. It will be in a style that you're familiar with, that you like, but it will give you some chance to change it up a little bit. So that's one that I think is a good take home is don't try to, you know, swing the ship from left to right. Keep it within 5 or 10 degrees of your course heading, and just change some of the ingredients up a little bit.
Are there specific staples that someone should always keep on hand in their pantry or refrigerator or freezer?
Yes. And that depends on what it is that you like to cook. And I'm talking for those days when we have MS, and sometimes MS has us even. Dried pastas are great because they're fairly simple. Beans mixed with rice or pasta are a very, it completes the protein. They're usually very easy. I like to go with lentils more than dried beans because they can be done in 20, 25 minutes versus dried beans that need to be soaked and re-soaked. And I like them better than tinned beans, which can have a lot of sodium, etc. Frozen peas are a great one because you can cook up some pasta in 10 minutes and put the frozen peas into a colander. And when you drain the pasta, dump them over that, and pasta and peas, that's grains and beans or legumes. That completes a protein right there. Toss in a little bit of olive oil and a little cheese or whatever for flavor, and you've got a complete meal there, and it's simple. Frozen vegetables I like to use over tinned vegetables, fresh from the garden vegetables if I've got those. A window box with herbs and lettuces and things like that is always nice to have. And then also I would say a nice array of condiments, because a couple of drops or dashes of this or that can change just about anything's flavor and move it from that, using the same core base of ingredients. You've got so many different flavor cultures from around the world.
Fatigue is one of the most common symptoms of MS, and it becomes really challenging to try and cook a meal when you're experiencing fatigue. What are some strategies that can make cooking easier for someone who's prone to fatigue?
Actually, I think the research says that fatigue is the most common MS symptom, and most of us will have it at some time or another. Most of us probably have figured out strategies to deal with fatigue in other parts of our life. So using whatever has worked for those is a good start. For me, just before doing this recording with you, I took a cool shower because I know that my body temperature is a factor in my fatigue. If you're coming home from work, take a cool shower, drink a pint of iced water to cool your body down. That might help. Change into some flowing clothes. That can help. So that's heat induced fatigue. If you've got more substantial fatigue, don't be afraid to edit your menu plan and do less. If you've got 3 things planned, only do 2. You're going to be a harsher judge on yourself than anyone else is going to be for doing that. So don't worry about that. Use the strategies that get you through your everyday with fatigue and apply those to getting your meals done and getting them on the table. One of my favorite things to do is find dishes that I can marinate overnight and then just take them out of the marinade, put them in the oven, and in a half an hour, an hour, I've got dinner set. So that's a fresh green salad and a baguette that I purchased at the local bakery. I'm done.
Some people with MS may have difficulty with strength or fine motor skills, and this can make prepping ingredients more challenging. Are there tools or devices that can make the chopping, cutting, and other kitchen prep easier?
You know, if you've got them, I think the family is the best one. And I don't say that just tongue in cheek. Getting people together to prepare a meal is a great way to connect at the end of the day or on your cooking day, if that's what you decide. You know, one of your weekend days is a lot of this, the prep work, etc. And it also, I think it's important that all of us know, if we're trying to cook a meal for people, we know how satisfying it is to give to someone. By asking for help in chopping the vegetables, peeling the carrots, mashing the potatoes, whatever it is, asking for help is giving someone else an opportunity to give. And as the cooks that want to give and know how good that makes us feel, giving someone the opportunity to give back, that's a great thing. And it helps get the meal prepped faster. Now, beyond that, You've got food processors. You've got rocking knives. If you've got the ability, induction cook tops where that are a lot safer than open flames or electricity, etc. I use a stick blender, an immersion blender, for a lot of things rather than having to pull out a regular blender, etc. So there are a lot of cooking devices that can make things easier, faster when it comes to preparation. And then also in the business, we call it mise en place, things in their place. Setting up, like you would see in a cooking demonstration, getting all the ingredients measured out into their individual bowls, put them in the order on the countertop that you're going to use them so you don't forget, et cetera. Those are great little things, that help through fatigue. They can help with a little bit of cognitive difficulties. That would be my suggestion there. I don't know if that answers the question completely, but it's a start.
Well, you know, someone experiencing MS-related cognitive issues might lose track of how long a pot's been on the stove or what comes next in a recipe. Do you have any tips or tools that may help people who have difficulty with things like short-term memory or organizational skills?
Just like I said, with trying to use things that were made you successful in other parts of your life, in my former life as a professional chef, I take a lot of those things from that life and put them into my home kitchen. We used to use opening lists and closing lists, checklists, that are started with turn on the lights, turn on the hood, turn on the convection ovens, and then doing the same thing in reverse. If you have issues, and I think we've probably all left a pot on the stove top, etc., have a checklist or have someone follow you after you're done, just to make sure that that's all done. A timer is a godsend to me, because otherwise I would forget. Luckily, I still have my sense of smell, but usually it's just past done when I remember something by smell. So a timer is a good one for that. So checklists, timers, there are all kinds of apps on smart devices that can help you. And then just having a backup, a sous chef or someone to follow up after you're done can also be very helpful.
In some cases, adjusting your kitchen space itself might make working in the kitchen easier and more comfortable. Do you have ideas for how to optimize your kitchen workspace and your workflow?
To start with, make sure that you have a place for everything and everything has a place, and it's that place always, so that you remember where you put it. Even if you forget, we have muscle memory that will help you remember where that is. Put everything that you're going to need close to where you're cooking or doing your preparations, etc. That doesn't mean that you have to store everything there. Just before you start your preparation, get everything that you're going to need and put it within reach. If that's on the kitchen table, if that's on the dining room table, if that's on the countertop, if that's on a folding table, you know, people using wheelchairs mightn't be able to afford adjustable countertops, etc. So you can find a space that works for you and work from there. But having everything close to you is certainly one that will help. And then where possible, do all of step A, and then all of step B, and then all of step C. One that gives you a sense of success. All right, I've got all the potatoes peeled and they're in water. Now I can move on to peeling the carrots, or I can move into slicing the mushrooms or whatever. But do all of step one, and then all of step two, and then all of step three, keeping things in order cognitively. So that helps me, and it gives me a sense of feeling like I've succeeded at something, even if I have to take a nap or a cool shower or a few minutes in between those steps. It's also a natural little break that allows me to do that.
Well, Travis Gleason, I want to thank you for helping improve the quality of life for people living with MS, and thanks so much for talking with me today.
John, it's been a pleasure. I thank you again for everything that you do for the MS community. And just for your listeners, remember, if you enjoyed cooking beforehand, let yourself enjoy cooking now. And even if there's a few mistakes, it's still fun.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/306. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into your email or text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.